Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators. Coming to you at Sunday night after the Gators just mantled South Carolina and Alabama. Freshly off steamrolling Bama by 23. Dev, how are we feeling tonight?
We beat them anyway, baby. Todd Golden is a man of the people, promises made, promises delivered. You can add seven-footers straight off of G League rosters to your front court, and it ain't going to make a difference. Todd Golden's Florida Gators are inevitable. What a week. You go from beating South Carolina, giving them the worst defeat at home by an SEC team, I want to say ever, beat them by 47 in Columbia, and then turn around and get just a massive home win. So incredible week for our Florida Gators. Todd Golden. Promises made, promises delivered.
HB, I know you were in the crowd today. I was as well. Just talk about the environment from the rip. The students, you know, we ripped them two episodes ago. They got in the Taj Pettiford's head despite Auburn winning. And today just going right after Charles Bediako, you know, from the opening tip.
They did well. They showed up today. We've had our fair share of criticisms. I know I hadn't been on in a while, but I enjoyed listening to you guys talk through the student section and, you know, maybe some phantom screams here and there from some people in the student section. But overall, they were awesome today. They brought the energy, and you mentioned the Charles conversation, them asking for Charles every time he went to the bench, and then the chant they had with G League dropout was pretty good. So they showed up today. The environment as a whole was awesome. It was fun being back in there. Coach Summerall sitting right by Golden. Just, you kind of get the chills watching it. You know, you got two young coaches leading your basketball team and your football team. It's cool watching him right there, dapping him up after big plays and stuff. The energy was awesome.
Yeah, Sam, watching from out in Arizona, Dick Vitale is on the call. Didn't have the pleasure of listening to him this evening, but just talk about it, listen to these guys on television, and Dick Vitale making his first appearance in what, like 2 years? I don't know how long it's been since he's called a game.
No, it's been a while. It's always special to hear him call a game. I think we can all say that growing up, that's college basketball for us. You know, I think I had one of the Papa Shot games you hang up on the back of your bedroom
door. Oh, yeah.
Dickie Vitale was the announcer on that. So that's just your childhood. So for him to – for his first game back to be the Gators, obviously you can play, oh, the logo holds weight. We're the team. You know, he still lives in Tampa from what I recall, so easy for him to make the trip and call the game. But great for him, great to hear his voice. And he was said a lot of good things about the Gators on the broadcast. Said, you know, we're winning the SEC. Said this is the team to beat. And definitely great to hear him and great to see the flip, this switch, the switch, the flip. I'm sorry, I'm getting that all fumbled there. But the response from after the Auburn loss, just absolutely steamrolling South Carolina. And then today, bit of a close first half, and then dominating the end of the first half and completely carrying that over to the second half today against Alabama, and having that, you know, being able to kick your feet up the last two conference games and just watch the team play a really fun brand of basketball. It's been a joy to watch.
Yeah, it has. And just a reminder, we're part of the Stadium Miguel Network and brought to you by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA is out of Lake City, Florida, a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985. You can give Guy a call at 386-752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate, wills, or trusts, and estate planning. Well, I thought from the get-go, you know, Alex Condon, I know he was aggressive. We've had some tough coaching, we'll call it, for him pretty much the entire year. He's had spurts or moments or halves against some teams where he's really showed he can play. Tonight against Alabama, I think he finished with 21 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, multiple blocks. Basically what we've been wanting to see out of – hold on. Did you hear that?
Yeah, Condo. I mean, you finally you criticize him last week against Auburn. He comes out. He kind of lays an egg 1 point, and then from the jump, I think that you watch the game and you say, oh, Condon's interested in playing today. He's engaged. He's playing hard. He looks like he wants to play basketball. And boy, is he the Alabama killer. Between last year's games and then now this, I don't know if it's something schematically or matchup wise against Alabama in particular, that if you need Condon to break out of a slump, just put Nate Oates on the other sideline and Alabama's roster. 25 points, don't want to shorten him a little bit. But it was just that was the type of game that after, you know, 2 hours and 20 minutes of watching Florida play basketball, you go, man, that was just so satisfying. Just something so enjoyable about watching the way that Todd matches up with Nate Oates' team. This is five in a row that we've won against Alabama, who, you know, some local reporters in the state of Alabama were trying to argue is the class of the SEC, despite the championship pedigree that exists in Gainesville, Florida. So for Golden to kind of stamp out any of those sort of comparisons too, it was a fun watch. It was a satisfying watch. And you to get Ollie at the very end, to get points 99 and 100 too. I mean, it was just the perfect day for Gator basketball.
Yeah, to your point, Devin, I kind of wish we could play Alabama like all the time, because I don't know if we match up so well against them. Obviously, like, Todd's been very outspoken, you know, the Nate Oates, no love lost there, and it's something about Condon. Like, it's he plays so good against Alabama. It's insane. And I've been very outspoken. I don't know if it was last time I was on the pod or the one before. Like, I said, you know, he's got to step up and he's got to be that piece. And he was awesome. He played his whole game. Like, I don't really think he was shooting the ball as much, but he was, you know, back to the basket, spinning off, dishing, scoring. And you got to think that Todd used the Betty Yako thing to challenge the bigs, you know, as outspoken as he was. You can't think he didn't use that as some motivation for a guy like Condon and a guy like Chin to say, hey, they got to go bring a guy from the NBA to come beat you guys. Like, come on, let's go show them what you're all about. And they certainly did that today. And, yeah, it's awesome to watch when Condon is at his best is when so are we, and this is what we're capable of. Winning by 23 points after winning by 45 points in conference play. February 1st.
To both of your points, obviously awesome week. When you talk about Condon and what he does to be so successful against Alabama, I think it really goes to Alabama's style of play being perfect matchup for Todd Golden's brand of basketball, especially the last 2 years with the front court last year and the front court this year. We're such a physical team. I mean, it's ironic that Bama's motto is bring your hard hat, because, I mean, those guys are, you know, shoot the three ball and live and die with it. You know, they have some size, but they don't play physical, even though they have that size. And even with Betty Yako being one of the big men down there, they just couldn't hang with the front court. I actually want to give a little Twitter shout out, because I just saw this tweeted earlier by Vari157 Gale. He tweeted, Nate Oates coaches a pathetic brand of basketball, a bunch of LA fitness hoopers that jack up a bunch of three, play zero defense, and get punked in the paint by anyone with a pulse. The basketball gods won't bless that kind of disrespect for the game. And I think that sums it up well. I mean, that style of basketball, you bring that into Todd Golden's house, it's not going to go well for you. And they shot the three well today. I mean, they made
14 threes. They shot 41%, made 14 threes.
It didn't matter. We beat them by 20-something. I mean, to be able to shoot the ball 40% plus when that's your brand of basketball. Their brand of basketball, they were successful for three-pointer today, and we still did that to them. It tells you everything you need to know.
You know, early on in that game, too, I thought that physically, just, you know, looking at them, their five, you could tell that they grabbed a professional basketball player and dumped him into their lineup, because they looked big. They had Betty Yako, obviously, and then they had number 22. I can't remember his name. Sherrell, I think, was his name.
Yeah, Aiden Sherrell.
And those guys physically looked like they matched up. And it kind of ended up looking how it looked in the tournament last year, where, yeah, they had their two frontline guys. They had a couple of offensive rebounds early on. And just the body blows wore them down. Chinyelu, Condon, Hanlogden. I don't know that he stuffed the stat sheet, but he held his own rebounding. They fought. They you know, you had Hauk get in there and get some boards and some toughness and playing down low too. And I don't think that they could handle, even with the addition of a new player, a new pro in mid-January, they couldn't handle all of the front court presence that we had. And I mean, it's just for Alabama to come out and specifically for this matchup, to say we're adding this seven-footer that's played 2-3 years of professional basketball because we need somebody to match up with Alex Condon. We need somebody to match up with Ruben Chinulu. And for them to flex their muscles like that again, despite that, despite this hand-picked matchup that Nate Oates tried to bring in, I mean, it gets you fired up. There's nothing that hasn't been a regular season win since, I guess, Auburn last year that's gotten me as fired up as what we did to Alabama today.
Yeah, and Dev, I think he got 5 of his 7 rebounds in the first, like, 6 or 7 minutes of gameplay. Kind of brought his identity a little bit, and from there the body blows just took over. Just 2 rebounds the rest of the game. I don't think he had 1 dunk in the second half. But besides that, Chinulu, Kondo, and Hout just absolutely dominated the paint. 72 points in the paint. We were discussing after the game. This week we scored 126 points in the paint, which is, 1, remarkable, and 2, we only allowed a total of 125 points this week. So just our paint efforts alone would have beaten Alabama and South Carolina when you tally up together. So I don't know if it was last episode or the episode before that, we talked about us kind of playing to our identity now and leaning into our strength and physicality of the front court. I don't know if it's been more proven after that beating by Auburn where they took it to us, how we responded the last 2 games and said, all right, we had a hiccup at home, which is unrare. I think we're 39-3 now in our last 42 at home, with 36 of those being by 9 or more points now. So just a great coaching job. Whatever was said leading up to the South Carolina game and into the Alabama game is it's paid dividends. I know Condon shouted out Carlin Hartman post-game for saying, like, what was the difference today? He goes, look, man, you're not shooting the ball well. Go back to what you're good at. And he was 11 of 14 from the 2-point area. I know he shot 1-3, but we said we're up 20-plus. You're allowed to get your practice shots in then, which he did, so I'm okay with that. But 11 of 14 and just, I mean, made his presence. With the drop set down there, was making passes, backdoor cuts to Lee, Tommy. I mean, the guy was just – someone said he needs to wear, like, glasses that have, like, show the other team we're just in crimson every game. And we're going to get this first-team preseason All-American type effort out of him nightly.
You know, something that stuck out to me watching on TV was when he got the ball open from three. You know, they run the set where he gets the ball kind of at the top of the key, and he has the opportunity every time he gets it to take an open three if he wants it. And all season he's been at least looking like he wants to take that shot. And today, instead of looking like he wants to take that shot, he was looking at who to pass it to, working to get to his spot to post up and to make moves. And it just, you could tell that it looked like his mind wasn't running as much like, am I about to shoot this? Am I not about to shoot this? I don't really want to shoot this, but I want to show scouts that I can do it. And it paid dividends on in his offensive game, because I think that being able to focus on what he was good at instead of trying to force something that he's not so good at, you can see the full Alex Condon repertoire. Like, his footwork looked incredible again. His passing was really good. And then just playing hard. I think that he might be a guy that if he starts to struggle a little bit, that kind of spirals on him some. And he didn't let that happen today, because he didn't take bad shots and he didn't have to go through any adversity, because it was instead of a ball rolling downhill in the wrong direction, it was a ball rolling downhill in the right direction, where the loose ball suddenly started going his way. The bounces off the rim started going in. I mean, it was a fun game to watch from Alex Condon. And if that's the guy we get the rest of the year, do y'all see any teams in the country that can match up with that front court?
There's not one playing at this level. There's not one team. Another highlight, we were on triple double watch Wednesday night with Alex Condon, and boards, rebounds, and assists. I think he had like 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists. Today we were on a different kind of triple double watch, and Boogie Flan. I believe he had 15 points, 8 assists. And a remarkable, I assume this has got to be I don't know how long it's been since we've had a guy with 8 steals, but Not only did our front
1989. Court, it tied the school record that was set in 1989.
Beautiful. Well, yeah, you don't get those performances in a once in a century kind of performance out of him defensively. He was jumping the passing lanes, was just ripping the ball out of guys' hands too. His effort defensively really was a difference. I thought that was his best game as a Gator. He kind of got the things rolling for us offensively. We had 26 fast break points. I mean, at one point, it just felt like we had run out after run out and dunk after dunk, or you know, a lay in or a foul that led to points as well. Sam, what did you see from Boogie and the guy that some of us have been preaching patience on, you know, starting to deliver?
Yeah, 8 steals is incredible. They said it toward the end of the game. They tied the school record and needed one more for 9 to break it. And that was insane to hear that. And he's an absolute force defensively, and he's starting to find his game offensively. The mid-range game, continuing to show that off, that is his go-to. And if he needs a shot, he can go to that, continuing to drive and kick. So he's really just become an all-around great player. The other guard continuing to leave a little bit to be desired, but Boogie has truly come into his own a little bit over the last really month now. He continues to stack performances, and I think you can safely say his defensive game has given him significant confidence offensively, and that's all we can really ask for, and he's continuing to play great. Need to see more of it.
This team being able to come up with their own identity too, like the front court guys have all improved over last, especially Chinyelu. I mean, is there anybody that you can think of in the country that Chinyelu reminds you of? I mean, the dude's just been incredible this year.
Oscar Tshiebwe.
I haven't heard that one before. Yeah, but Ruben was awesome again. I think that he stepped up to the plate and accepted the challenge, and he's kind of become the heart and soul of the team. That, you know, I think Jackson, you kind of made the point earlier that this team's had to find its own identity and embrace that identity. And I mean, this game we shot 3 of 13 from 3, and I think we said a few weeks ago that if this team stops shooting 27 three-pointers a game and then gets into like that 15 to 20 range, that we think that that's when they'll be playing at their best. Don't turn the ball over, play good defense, get rebounds, get easy twos. And they're starting to do it. They did it, you know, this game is a good example of it, but they did it against South Carolina too. So you're starting to see this team get out of last year's team shadow, form its own identity. And it turns out that its identity is really, really good, even if they're winning in different ways.
Yeah, Hunter, Ruben, I know not his best offensive game. Kind of generated his own shot. He got blocked a few times. He left a few short. I don't think he had a great shooting percentage today by any means whatsoever. But his ability to still go get the offensive rebound, I think he had 6 offensive rebounds, was able to get some putbacks, went 6 to 7 from the line, just another 14 and 17 game. Just talk about him today.
Yeah.
His ability to work the crowd as well. He was fired up all throughout the evening. Just what did you see from our future All-American?
Ruben's the heartbeat. Ruben's the heartbeat. And there's a lot of guys, obviously, we talk about Tommy and what he brings to the team. You know, when Condon's playing well, obviously Boogie was the one moving the ball. But Ruben, energy-wise, I think is the heartbeat of the team. And you could see that, especially on the defensive end. We talk about Boogie Flynn today having the best defensive performance, and he did. 8 steals, incredible. Love what we saw. Ruben had the best off defensive play, or possession, I should say, when he guarded, 2 or 3 different guys with the ball. And at one point, a guard that he just completely locked down. The guy could not get past him. That led to an eventual shot clock slash travel kind of at the same time. I've seen that clip going around Twitter already. Unreal effort from him. But yeah, I mean, even on a day where maybe that patented left hook isn't going down every single time, the effort's always going to be there. You talk about bring the hard hat type of mentality that Bama tries to say is their slogan. That's Ruben Chinyelu, right? Even if the shot's not fully there, he's going to be down there crashing the boards. He's going to be down there defending you in your face. Doesn't matter if you're a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 on the floor, you're getting guarded by Ruben Chinyelu if you come into his area, and it's not going to go well for you. And it didn't go well for them today. So he was awesome to watch.
from the end of the first half to the beginning of the second half, you had that Ruben Chinyelu defensive possession that might be the best defensive possession ever played by a Gator basketball player. And then you had eight consecutive possessions to open the second half where Alabama had their shots either blocked or stolen. And that extended the lead from, I think it was 6 points to 10 points in the first half, and then from 10 points to 20 points in the second half. And the crazy thing about that, that stretch too, is that we screwed up fast break opportunities like three times during that stretch. Like, we had a 3-on-1 at the end of the first half where two guys went up for the alley-oop. We had the
Todd threw his chair on that one, by the way, Dev. I'm not sure if that came across on TV. Todd threw his chair into the assistants whenever that one happened.
Yeah, they didn't show that on TV. But we did it again in the second half. And Todd, they did. It was on that side of the court, so you could see he was ticked at Boogie for kind of throwing it away there in the second half. But it could have been worse. It should have been worse. We had a couple bunnies we missed. Like, the Golden had the boys ready to play today, and 23 points, Alabama might have gotten off a little bit easy for it on it. Like, they were working them.
Free throws. Right. I mean, you talk about free. We were 65% from the free throw line. We were missing free throws left and right. And you talk about leaving opportunities out there. You had two wide open layups missed by Lee. I mean, there are opportunities left and right that you can think about where this could have been a 30, 35 point win.
Imagine a world where you say before the game that Alabama is going to make 14 threes. They are Florida's only going to make three. We're going to shoot 65% from the free throw line. And oh, yeah, we're going to win by 23. Like, it was protecting the ball and getting rebounds. We only out-rebounded them by 11, which is a closer margin than some of the teams we've played in SEC play. I mean, it was just a phenomenal game, a thoroughly enjoyable ass-kicking for 40 minutes.
Yeah, and we've got a caller, I believe Jake from New Orleans, gave us a buzz post-game to talk about the wins over South Carolina and Alabama. Let's see what he's got to say.
Hey, guys. Jake from New Orleans calling. Big win over the biggest snake oil salesman scumbag coach in the country, Nate Oates. Question, just going forward about the team. Neil Blackman loves to use the term Todd Golden wins on the margins. What do you think some of those situations, some of those margins that he wins on are? Because when I watch, I see that, you know, we might not do some things well that we typically do, but obviously it's working. Want to hear about some of those margins from you guys. Thanks and go Gators.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate the call. I think the biggest one today where we won on the margins is the turnover battle. And that led to our success. 18 turnovers for Bama, 2 for us. I know we didn't shoot the ball from the outside well, but I still think we shot we shot over 50%. I think we were 37 of 65 from inside the arc. Just speak on, Hunter or Sam, where we kind of went in those margins, whether it's rebounding, that's how we kind of go through our identity. What do you see out of the Gators in this last week where we kind of win in those areas?
Well, I'll say one thing on not too into the weeds on the margins. That's a little beyond my pay grade, like analytically or anything like that. But I know we mentioned earlier about just dominating points in the paint as that being one of our key identities. And definitely another thing that we would point to being identity is pushing pace, transition with what we at least presumed going into the season with what our guards were to be. And I know Devin said, obviously, we had a lot of couple misses, a couple blunders transitionally, but I think we still had, you know, over 20 points in transition, near 30 points. And you tack that on to the points in the paint and the transition points. That is our identity. You know, when we can move in transition, can hit some shots, we're obviously going to offensive rebound night in, night out. So I think that's another margin, too, just being able to not only be able to push play with our guards, but when we're efficient, when we're effective, and when we're actually scoring in transition as well. Because like I said, I think we know every night we're going to do pretty well on the glass. We're going to get second chance opportunities. We're going to get our defensive rebounds and be able to push. It's just a matter of if the shots are falling and if we can, you know, really cash in transitionally.
I think, Jackson, I think you said it. I think turnovers as the margins with this team, because I think this team, you know what they do well and you know what they don't do well. They're pretty consistent when it comes to identity. You know they're not going to be shooting the three ball well. They've been consistent at that. Some games may be a little over the percent, some games a little under, but they're consistently have been a poor three-point shooting team. And then they're going to offensive rebound and rebound as a whole better than most teams they play each night. And so they're going to lean through that front court and not shoot the three ball well. So they're consistent on there. So I think the margins really comes down to the turnovers. And you said it today. Would you say two turnovers today? You take care of the ball. And it, you hear the announcers every single game on ones you're watching from home talk about how Golden emphasizes getting a shot up, because we're such a good offensive rebounding team that a turnover kills you because it doesn't give you an opportunity to offensive rebound. And so that's where I think, you know, you're going to win games or lose games on the margins is if you're turning the ball over.
Yeah, one odd stat. Outside of Ruben going 6-7 from the line, I think the rest of the team went 9-19, which is pretty concerning. Several misses out of the guards at a Boogie, Urban, and Isaiah Brown. But, I think you hit it on the head there, Hunter, with the turnover aspects kind of being the major. Because our best shot is a missed shot almost in some situations. When you got Kondo, Houck, or Ruben cleaning up and getting fouled and going to the line or putting it in or in and getting an and-one opportunity. So
this style of play really requires us to be the harder playing team, and they've done a really good job all year of playing harder than our opponents. And the size is overwhelming, but in order for it to be overwhelming, you have to take the fight to the team you're playing against. And I think that these guys, you know, for them to have lost a couple of close games early against, you know, elite top three, top four teams in the country, I think that that's served us well in SEC play now, because you have a bunch of guys that are champions that have gotten humbled, refound an identity, and now they're implementing that identity that they had to you know, kind of soul search for a little bit. So it's almost like the team is better now than they would have been otherwise had they not had those struggles earlier in the year and had that humbling experience, losing a couple of heartbreakers and close games, you know, in Cameron Indoor against Arizona and UConn. So I'm really, really proud of the guys. They play really hard for a bunch of accomplished college players, and it's a joy to watch them.
Yeah, I think it's so disrespectful that we're the 19th ranked team according to the Associated Press or whatever in the coaches poll, whatever they got us at as well. But we've been strong on letting you guys know. You know, we're an analytical podcast. I think Ken Palm, after the Illinois game, who went on the road and beat a really good Nebraska team, we're up to 7th now. And since December, I think 21st, the Gators on Bart Torvik are the number one team in the country, slightly ahead of Illinois, Houston, Michigan, and Arizona. So that just shows you the level of play. I know we've had two losses during that stretch, but the level of play we're playing at, I think every win in league play outside of Vanderbilt has been by double digits, and it's been by 15 or more points. Does that sound accurate?
What was the one that we're number one in?
Bart Torvik since December 21st. Yeah. We're sixth overall right now, but since late December.
I've always said that's the premier source, top one I've gone to for years. So I encourage our listeners and everybody else in the world to do the same.
Yeah, Torvik's doing a great job over there, and everything he says. I'll take being the best team in the country for the last month and a half. I won't say no to that. Yeah, I think we're for the season? We're 7th. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the AP can rank us whatever they want. The metrics and the guys that do this for a living with their computers and their science stuff, they like this team despite the 6 losses. So, and when you watch them, they pass the eye test. They're starting to have that feel. We made Oklahoma and South Carolina, who are not great basketball teams, but have, you know, they're above 500 for the season. We make them look like they've never played basketball before. We absolutely murder people when we are playing well and playing the way that we played this week.
We hashed on a little bit Okondo's passing ability, Boogie 8 assist. The remarkable thing is today we had 24 assists on 40 made baskets and 2 turnovers. South Carolina, we had 28 assists on 38 made baskets. So this team, and I know we mentioned it, Auburn, a few other games where the team offensively just kind of looked like they were standing around a little bit. When we're not playing well in these last two games, it feels like all five guys are moving on the floor in different positions, trying to get to their spot, working really hard despite not getting open every opportunity, but they're fighting. I thought Urban Klavzar did a great job. Only 2 3-point attempts, finished with 11 points. Took 8 shots, so 6 inside the arc. Had a big and one towards the end of the late in the second half. This team is just, they're starting to click. And it's, you know, this is the time of the year where, you know, you might struggle a little bit in non-conference and you could win games and still not look great, or you can lose them and, you know, lose on the margins and lose by a possession or so. But this is the time of the year to get hot. And I think we get a nice bye week before we go on the road to College Station. So we'll have a preview show later this week before we take on the Aggies. But this time of the year start getting hot. It was this time last year we played Auburn and we kind of got put on the national stage. We had a standalone game on ABC today, 1 o'clock. There's really only one other big game across the country that played after us. So all eyes were on the Gators today nationally. And I think a lot of people notice how good of a team we are despite what we see on the Associated Press rankings, because there's going to be some upset fans that are going to draw us as a 3 seed come March, and they're going to be like, how the hell is this team not a top 4 seed in the country?
To your point, Jackson, you mentioned rankings. What comes to my mind, though, if you had a perfect world of where we stand on the analytical rankings and then where we stand on the AP, which really is just like the common fan and 98% of the fans and what they look at, it's the perfect mix, because all the analytical programs like the Ken Palms and the Evan Mayas and Torbeck, they all have us in that top 7-8 where it tells you it's a 2-3 seed type of team, one of the best in the country. They're the ones really watching and have all the analytics to determine how well we're playing. But then the AP, right, where most fans look to determine how good of a team you are, has us at 19. So from a bulletin board material, from a motivation in the locker room, Todd Golden's able to use that and tell his team, these guys think you're the 19th best team in the country. He knows that. He knows all the real ball knowers and all the metrics have us in the top 8. But he's able to say, you know, 19th best. They think 18 teams out there can beat you guys. I mean, obviously, we'll be better than 19, I would imagine, come Monday. But you get the point. I think having that motivation is perfect. It doesn't matter the AP. You know, let them rank us low. That's fine.
No, I think that's perfect, Hunter. I think that's a perfect where you want to be. We all know we're not the 19th best team. You know, like if you – the TCU, if you get that game back and you chip off one of those big non-conference games, this is a top 10 team in rankings, and it looks great on paper. But we'll take the analytics flying under the radar, and, someone's not going to want to draw us, and where it should shape up to get in a real good spot and be a team no one wants to see. That's fun to play.
John Fanta tweeted at some point while we were bludgeoning Alabama in the second half that it's pretty funny that Florida has a 19 next to their name, because there's not 10 teams better than the Gators. They figured it out in their top year is really special. And I think that you kind of have seen that out of us. We lost Sam. I think that you kind of have seen that like in spots out of us in conference play. But even going back before we had kind of figured ourselves out, you dug out of a 17-point hole in Cameron Indoor Stadium and had the lead with less than a minute left. We were outclassing Arizona for the first 12 minutes of that game, and they haven't lost this season. So that gear's in there, and we're finally starting to see a team that doesn't necessarily have to shoot well to be playing well. And I think that that's a really dangerous place for the rest of the country, because if this team's confidence is growing and growing and growing, and if we don't have to shoot well to beat you, I don't know what our weakness is at that point, other than we just can't turn the ball over. Because, I mean, 3 of 13 is the most benign. Like, I can't imagine us going worse than 3 of 13. Knock on wood, I shouldn't say that. But 3 of 13, the three point ball is not a threat, and we were still able to dominate them in the paint. They weren't able to make us pay, whatever adjustment we made. And I'm interested to hear what Neil Blackman and Eric Fawcett have to say about that, how we were able to be so successful inside despite not having that three-point threat. What did we do different offensively that we weren't doing against Auburn to adjust to just being able to dominate like that without having the three-point threat?
Yeah, and I think it's great. Like you mentioned before the show, you know, we're going to look back here maybe 4 or 5 weeks and say, how in the world did we lose that Auburn team, especially at home? But maybe it's a wake-up call. Like, they kind of provided the blueprint of where our weakness is and some nice adjustments these last 2 weeks. I think the best part this entire week, Oliver has not seen the floor yet in SEC play. Gets in twice this week. The fans in South Carolina are chanting, "We want Ollie." It's audible on the TV broadcast. Today, Golden unleashes the bench with a minute or so left. He gets the 99th and 100th point, as you mentioned, as Dev. But, I mean, the place just went bananas. It was just a party for 2.5 hours in the O-Dome. It was an electric feeling before the game. We were at Hunter and I were at Dog with a few other people that listened to the show. Just an all-time great day and just really sums up how much fun it is to have a great basketball program. And I'm glad Summerall was there for the Auburn game. I know he talked at the end of four timeout, but today he was sitting courtside, the seat right next to Todd Golden. And there's plenty of pictures out there.
He's jucking it up with a couple of valuable contributors to Gator Athletics, it looked like.
Yes, he was. And, you know, he's fired up. He's standing up cheering. He's dabbing up Todd and the players coming off the floor when they're getting checked in and out. Just an awesome time. It's, you know, hopefully he's learning a few things from Golden and what it takes to have a winning program at the University of Florida. Because if we can get football rolling and Golden keeps his basketball program sustainable and successful, it's going to be like how we were growing up, you know, 20 years ago.
Hopefully he's seeing that it's really endearing to Gator fans when you can talk trash, call out BS, and then be able to go and back it up. I mean, that there's people making golden comparisons to guys that you don't compare Gator coaches to, all-time legends and you know, certain former Heisman Trophy players and national championship coaches in the way that Golden is starting to – know, publicly, outwardly show that confidence in his program. I mean, it's just what Golden's doing is special. It's special. So hopefully a little bit of that rubs off on the football program here soon.
He doubled down with the talk again, because earlier before the game, I don't think we mentioned it, our good friend Nate Oates had some things to say about maybe why we're so good at offensive rebounding is because, you know, we're able to hang out in the paint for maybe a little bit more than the time permitted. And Todd let that be known in his post-game comments. You guys saw those.
Yeah, that was a nice chirp from our guy. And
he gets it, man.
He's one of us. When you watch him on the sidelines, I mean, late in the game, Chin comes out, you know, the entire starting five comes out. He's dabbing him up. He's shoving Boogie. He's fired up. He's getting the crowd amped up when Bediago got fouled out. Todd turns to the crowd and got him amped. You know, Chin's at the free throw line, firing up the crowd. And he's just a 40-year-old man stuck in a teenager's body, just has the opportunity to coach these guys and has the best view out of everybody. You know, he's right there on the floor coaching these guys and enjoying every second of it. So it's such a blessing having him in Gainesville after what we endured for so long after the Billy Donovan era. It's just so much fun going to – we were talking before the Auburn game, like, it kind of ruined the college experience not going to a lot of basketball games or not being very enthusiastic about it. We'd go sit up in the top section where the students get the you know, you can sit in the 200s, and we'd just sit there, and it's almost just like a gimmick being there. For him to bring the energy back to the students – they are camped out this morning when it felt like 15 degrees. John Summerall is out there passing out pizzas. Like, it's starting to feel like everyone just kind of understands what it is to be a Gator and go out there and just kick people's ass like we're supposed to.
Everyone but the AD. I'll stop.
Well, if the football team starts winning again, people will stop complaining about the AD too. So,
correct.
They're halfway there.
It's fair.
Speaking of championship level teams, baseball starts in 12 days. It's coming quick.
Yeah, they were honored during the middle of the game. Had a little T-shirt toss. So 12. Who do I think we open up with? Stetson. Who do we open up with?
It's a good question.
I looked yesterday or the day
UAB
before.
UAB maybe.
UAB then Stetson in the midweek, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, they there's a true freshman. Make sure that I get his name right. He's going to be the Gator Diamond Baseball Pod. Shout out to them.
Kendall.
Tweeted that there's a true freshman that's going to probably be leading off and starting in right field for us this year that just keeps hitting home runs. So Jacob Kendall is his name. So shout out to him. If we can get another addition to that lineup, in addition to the kid from Ole Miss, Surowich, that seems like it. Between that and then the starting pitching, Aiden King and Liam Peterson coming back, seems like a team that has the makeup pieces. So I'm excited about it too, Milo.
We also had gymnastics. Third-ranked Gators rolled Arkansas Friday night, the sixth-ranked Hogs. I know we got a big matchup with them in Gainesville and basketball coming up in a few weeks. So all the sports across campus are winning right now. It'll be great for baseball to start up in 12 days, like you said, Dev.
I think we have 11 ranked teams right now. Not bad.
Not bad.
Just every school things.
Baseball doesn't get – I don't think we play Vanderbilt, Texas, LSU, or
we
Tennessee.
We play LSU. We don't play Vandy. Or we don't play Tennessee.
Yeah, okay. I know we don't play a lot of the really, top brass of the SEC in baseball. We kind of get a break this year in the schedule, which is nice.
Exciting times.
All right. Anything else, fellas?
I got one thing football related on our boy Summy. Did you guys see the? I think it was like the football camp with the coaches that were coming. Did you guys see that what is announced there?
Yeah, one of the best coaches in the NFL was on there, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I just want to just say one thing, and I think obviously he hasn't coached any games, and we haven't even seen the team, but just part of him understanding it. And I think doing something like that is putting your ego to the side, and I think that is something that we certainly – have asked a lot of our previous coaches to do, and they were unable to do so. I don't think you would see any of our last three coaches doing something like this. If they did, forgive me, but I think it's refreshing to see, and I think Summy is – I think he gets it, similar to how we said Todd Golden. I think he gets it, and I'm excited.
Yeah, John Gruden, Urban Meyer, Liam Cohen, pretty star-studded lineup coming to Gainesville, I think March 27th or something like that.
Getting the Breakfast with the Gators Coach of the Year from the NFL last year is a huge get for Summerall, I got to say.
And former Florida Gator message board head coach John Gruden coming. So
big.
And former Florida head coach, two-time national champion Urban Meyer. So
future Florida Gators athletic director Urban Meyer. That's a big get too.
Stacked lineup. Everyone wants to see what Summy can do.
Everyone wants to come coach and work for the Patch.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys. We'll be back. Gators are off this week, unfortunately. Kind of a misfortune after the two beatdowns we've had. We got to take 6 days off if we go on the road to College Station. But we'll be back sometime later this week with a little preview show of the Aggies. 1-2 in the SEC. I know A&M, we'll dive into this more later, but really hasn't played anybody at the top half of the conference standings. So a big one to kind of take reign over the regular season standing. So thank you guys for listening. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, following us on Twitter at BreakfastWTG. Make sure you hit that follow and like and subscribe button. We'll see you again. Go Gators.
Go Gator.
Go Gators.
Go Gators.